Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the grill room is definitely on our tab. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
It's playoff time on the PGA Tour. Welcome to the grill room. I'm Bob Bubka, alongside Alex Maselli, and the first playoff is now in the record books, the Barclays. Before we even begin talking about the Barclays, Alex, your thoughts overall on the playoff system?
Well, I mean, I think after 9 years, they pretty much got it right, Bob. I don't think there's any question about that. It's compelling. It's interesting. We focus on it. The players focus on it, which I always think is the main thing. If the players are focusing on it, then obviously they have an interest level in it, and they see it as a big thing, so they prepare for it. They schedule around it. So, I mean, that's a positive. If there's a negative to the playoff system, is that it's not a playoff system. It's, you know, there's no playoff system I know of in any sport where you can just take a day off or take a week off or take a tournament off. And Rory McIlroy did, Sergio Garcia did. I can't remember that someone else that did as well. And I just think that if you're going to take a week off of a playoff, then you shouldn't be able to play for the ultimate prize, which in this case is the FedEx Cup and $10 million.
Well, that's certainly a valid point. It's one of 2 points that I have about the playoff system as it is now. And I'll give credit to the PGA Tour. They have been tweaking it all along. I think it needs some additional tweaks. I agree wholeheartedly with your opening comment about not being allowed to take a week off like some of the players have opted to do. And the other thing that maybe it's just me, but I think I'm speaking on behalf of the average fan that watches it on TV, it's just way too confusing. I mean, I just can't wrap my head around all these points and all the stuff that goes into this system. I fully understand, yeah, we started out with 125, we go down to 100, that's great. Down to 70, that's great. Down to 30, that's great. I just don't know exactly how the point system works.
Well, I mean, I understand that, but unlike any other sport where once you get in, everybody's treated the same, you can't have that in this, because if so, all you'd have to do is get into the top 125 and you wouldn't be trying to get more points or trying to do anything. It's just as long as you got in the top 125. I mean, I think if it was the top 30, and that was what happened through the four tournaments, it was the top 30 that were vying for the FedEx Cup, but it might be a different story. Then you wouldn't have to worry about the things you're talking about. But it's just an odd way of doing things. This is just how our system is. And I agree that for fans, it's hard to follow. But as you get closer to the ultimate, which is the Tour Championship, it is easier to understand and it is easier to follow. But yet, at the same time, there's the argument even then, if you are leading going into the FedEx Cup and you play horribly, or leading going into the Tour Championship, rather, and you play horribly, you could actually lose the whole thing when a guy that maybe is 17th going in could win. So, again, that seems a little bizarre as well.
You know, Alex, even on that final weekend when we're down at East Lake, a golf course, you know, that Reese Jones has done over so many times, and it's just a magnificent test of golf, the former home of Bobby Jones, maybe the greatest golfer that ever lived. That final weekend at East Lake, it seems like one of the memories I have is the constant Steve Sands, from formerly of Golf Channel, now NBC, with a whiteboard there trying to explain who's doing what, and it changes with every birdie and every bogey. And boy, really, it's often used, but I think it applies here. You almost have to be a rocket scientist to even understand what's going on.
Yeah, and the other thing is it just takes away from the golf. I mean, it takes away from guys playing good golf. We got to go to some guy on a whiteboard. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I just don't think that that's what the playoff system was about. I think it's about showcasing the best guys, playing the best golf. And I think we got some of this unsundry stuff that mixes it all up, Bob. So I agree with you there.
Yeah, and I think one of the major problems, and I want to move on because we have so much to talk about on today's show, but the amount of points that you get for winning a playoff event, and, as I understand, it's more points than winning a major.
You got points for playoffs. You got points for a regular season. They just don't match up the same, Bob. And they want the ability for guys that are 110th to be able to move into the top 30. They want to give guys the chances to be volatile. They want a volatility in the playoffs. And that's why the point structure is different. And you just can't equate the two.
All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Why don't we take a quick break here?
We can't take a quick break. We have to say who won the Barclays before we go to our break.
All right, we'll get to that in a minute, Alex. But first, let's just take this brief time out.
The Grill Room is proud to be doing our part to entertain the active men and women in our military as well as our veterans as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll go around the world of golf when we return.
The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jordan Spieth agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's Coolbrella.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Waltzing Matilda, you come a waltzing Matilda with me. And he sang as he watched and waited.
All right, you heard Alex promise around the world of golf. Well, let's do that and begin with the Barclays and the playoffs and absolutely incredible performance by Jason Day. And Alex, I think even before we talk about what Jason Day accomplished, let's give a listen to what Jason Day has to say about his performance.
I'm definitely by far playing the best golf of my life. I'm just driving. I mean, just the synergy between my golf swing right now and what I've done with my body is working. I'm hitting it long, long way. And I feel like it's the accuracy's pulled in. So I hit a lot of greens over this week, gave myself a lot of opportunities. But then on top of it, the work that I've put in on the putting green, the practice putting green in the off weeks is paying off with the long putts that are going in right now. You know, obviously I feel like Jordan Spieth right now with how I'm putting. And it's a good feeling because, I mean, you know, it's great to roll those long putts in and get the momentum rolling away.
You heard him say, Alex, the best golf in his life. And I guess that would be if you shoot 63, 62 on the weekend to come away with a victory. He basically seems unstoppable right now.
Well, I saw a tweet, I think, by Ted Scott. Bubba Watson and Ted Scott were talking, I think, around the 15th hole maybe yesterday. And as good as Bubba is playing, he said, you know, as good as I'm playing, I got to beat that guy, meaning Jason Day, and he can't do it right now. And I'm sure he's not the only one that feels that way. As you see a guy just kind of ram-riding his way through the fields and having, you know, relatively no problem defeating them. I mean, making putts after putts that, you know, you look at and you're saying, well, you know, he's going to cozy up there on what were relatively difficult greens to read at Plainfield, and he's dropping them from 25, 30, 35 feet. I think there was a stat where, Bob, he he actually had made more putts in 15 holes yesterday than he made the first two rounds or something like that. Just a lot of crazy numbers being thrown out there about Jason Day and his accomplishments. And then you take the fact that since missing the playoff at the Open Championship by a shot, he wins the Canadian Open, plays so-so at Bridgestone. But if you take the 16th hole out of the mix at Bridgestone, so for 17 of the 18 holes, he probably would have won the tournament. Then he wins the PGA Championship in impressive style, and just as impressively wins the Barclays. And now you start going, well, who is world number one since Jordan Spieth missed the cut at Barclays? Rory McIlroy technically is world number one, but I think most people would say right now the guy who's playing as world number one is Jason Day.
Well, I think a couple of facts that are indicative of the way Jason Day has been playing, Alex. Number one, in his last 20 starts, he's had top 10 finishes in 12 of them. I mean, that is remarkable. And this one blew me away. His last 16 rounds of golf, his highest score was 70. One round, 70. Every other 15 of the 16 rounds, Alex, we're in the 60s, and we're talking about major events, the Barclays. We're talking about the PGA Championship. We're talking about the Canadian Open. I mean, he's doing this in, you know, unbelievably strong events, and yet he's shining brighter than anybody in the field.
Yeah, by a lot, too. Not just by a little, by a lot. I mean, Henrik Stenson, Bubba Watson could never really put any pressure on him or significant pressure. And where they faltered, he didn't. And that just shows you just how good he's playing. And, you know, I don't see how it changes. There doesn't seem to be anything to be going on in his golf game or his life that's going to make things different in a week, the next week, which is Deutsche Bank. I don't think he's necessarily had great tournaments there, but I don't think it matters if he's had great tournaments at venues he's been at before or not. He's just in some kind of zone now, and that zone puts him in a place that not only leading the FedEx Cup, first time ever he's done that, but it looks like a guy that's, you know, is going to get to Atlanta and have no problem with that. So we'll see what happens. But obviously there's a lot of golf to play, and that's what we're going to have to look at when we get down later on in the show. But this week it was all Jason Day. It was not Jordan Spieth. There are some other guys that shined last week. But before we get there, you know, you got to wonder why Jason Day is in this zone right now. What is it about him that's in this zone? You kind of talked about it.
It's very difficult to win. I think the mentality of not being satisfied with the number, not being satisfied with the number that I was out there, and just keep pushing forward and not being okay with okay. You know, to be able to really, you know, get to a certain number and then going, okay, I need to get one more.
All right, Jason Day, you know, we probably could spend 3 hours talking about him and we wouldn't get everything in. But I think one aspect of the playoffs gets highlighted when we look at the season that Jordan Spieth had, wins two majors. Okay, now we have one playoff event and he's no longer in the lead. I mean, and he's trailing by 290 points, whatever that means, to Jason Day, who wins that first playoff event. We talked about that earlier. Enough on that. I think there's a couple of things we should mention. First and foremost, Alex, our condolences to the Ryan Palmer family. Ryan lost his dad in a freak car accident just last week. Didn't know whether he should play at Barclays or not, and then was very comfortable with himself when he announced that his dad would have wanted him to play. Ryan Palmer, as you know, Alex, one of the good guys out there, and the best to his family. Speaking of the best, how about how many listeners do you think we have, Alex, that are dreaming of making that first hole in one? Golly, I remember when you made your first one. It was I thought you were going to pass away with a heart attack with the amount of excitement. And Brian Harmon, he makes two hole in ones in one round. I mean, I have difficulty even saying that. I mean, that just seems mind-boggling.
Well, it just shows, you know, Brian Harmon being a left-hander, that obviously is what is required to make two holes of one in a round. But it is a big feat, only the third time in PGA Tour history. While that feat was going on, we had the reverse, Bobby, which is the guys that are very notable and missed the cut, or missed advancing, I should say, into the playoffs. And it starts with Lee Westwood, who has, again, had what I would have to say is a pretty abysmal 2014-2015 campaign. Adam Scott, who has just fallen off the map in regards to Australia. He's not even the best Australian anymore, much less the best player on the PGA Tour. And then Eric Compton, who's had some physical issues that are not heart-related, had to withdraw. Is going to keep his card because he's in the top 125, but no way that he could advance beyond the Barclays.
And, of course, there were some people on the positive side. Luke Donald, 119th to 87th, I believe. He moves on. Henrik Stenson, big move, 41st to 4th. Sangmun Bae, 34th to 23rd. Fascinating story with Sangmun Bae. I mean, he's playing in the playoffs, millions of dollars at stake. In fact, the ultimate $10 million prize at the end. And then this fall, he goes into the Korean Army. He's going to be in there 2 years, and his pay is going to be $118 a month. $118 a month, Sangmun Bae. That's what he's going to have to live on for 2 years. It seems incredible.
Well, the other ones too, Bob. Daniel Summerhayes and then Zach Blair. Blair moving from 106th to 45th. But I think the Bae thing is the most interesting. I think Sangmun Bae always thought that if he played well enough on the PGA Tour and won events on the PGA Tour, that the Korean government would give him an exemption to the military service because of his abilities and his prowess in athletics and bringing favoritism on Korea and the Korean people. And obviously that's not going to happen. No way in this world, even if Sangmun Bae won the FedEx Cup, do I think that Korea would go ahead and give him an exemption at this point. So it's kind of interesting to see that now that he knows it's over, he knows there's no exemption at the end of the rainbow. He knows he's only got a couple more events left. He's now starts seeing Sangmun Bae play golf because he doesn't have this anchor on him about trying to play well enough to go ahead and get an exemption or dealing with the authorities in Korea. So it would not surprise me, just like Billy Horschel last year after not playing, playing okay at Barclays, turning around and winning the Deutsche Bank and then winning at BMW and getting the FedEx Cup. It would not surprise me, or I should say I take that back, not winning at Deutsche Bank, but almost winning after hitting a ball in the hazard and then winning at BMW and at the Tour Championship. It wouldn't surprise me to see Sangmun Bae, with all the pressure off, play very well in these playoffs.
All right, let's put a bow on the Barclays. Well-documented, obviously, Rory McIlroy skipped the event. We can give some justification there, maybe resting his ankle, after the PGA Championship. And nobody has their head behind the curtain any more than you do in finding out things. Have you heard anything on why Sergio Garcia not only skipped Barclays, but he's going to skip Boston?
No, I have no idea why, except for the fact that he can. And I think that's the problem, that you can and still have a chance to get into the Tour Championship. So I think that's an issue that obviously is something the PGA Tour needs to address. But, Sergio is well within his right at this point to do whatever he wants.
All right, let's take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to check out what happened on the other tours. Jeff Maggot wins for the fourth time this year on the Champions Tour. A good friend of ours and a good friend of the Grill Room show. We'll have that Maggot win and so much more.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by GolfBlot.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to the Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. And because of their efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, a course that is more sustainable, and one that offers natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. The Golden Bear agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
Hey, thanks for being part of the Grill Room. We certainly appreciate you making an effort each and every week to find out what's happening in the world of golf. Let's begin now, as we promised, with the Champions Tour, Dick's Sporting Goods Open. Mags, as you affectionately call him, Alex wins for the fourth time this season. This is a dream ride for Jeff Maggard.
Well, it is. Two major championships. Now, all of a sudden, you know, he's a guy that comes from behind. The last two wins have been from come-from-behind wins, and he's the guy that's playing the best on Sunday, which, to be quite honest with you, has not been his M.O. So I don't know what happened or what is happening, but now all of a sudden he's on top of the Charles Schwab Cup standings. There's not too many events left, and Jeff Maggard at this point, if anybody had to ask, would be the Champions Tour Player of the Year, I think.
I agree with you. It's amazing because he had this quality swing for so long, and it just seems now it's coming into full bloom. And those looking for an opportunity to come to full bloom are playing on the web.com tour. What happened there?
Wow. Shocking, actually. Dickie Pride, who... Alabama guy coming back from injuries in the past, now all of a sudden is going to earn himself away his way back on the PGA Tour. 40th going into the Winco Foods Open presented by Kraft Heinz, which is the last qualifying event before the web.com schedule ends, and they go on that four tournament schedule to see in the playoffs to see who gets their cards. If you're in the top 25 now on the money list on web.com, you are guaranteed your card. And Dickie Pride, who started the week 40th, goes all the way up to 5th. He's guaranteed his card. And right behind him, quite honestly, was Tim Heron, Lumpy as we know him. He moved up to 32nd from 97th with his second-place finish. And then Tommy Gainey, two gloves, who has been a lot of time on the PGA Tour, one on the PGA Tour, was 71st and moved up to 35th. All those guys... you know, getting a chance, those two guys rather, getting a much better position going into the playoffs. But Dickie Pride getting this card for 2015, 2016, that's the story coming out of that event, the Winco Foods Open presented by Kraft Heinz. Big, big win for Dickie Pride.
Yeah, and a great guy. Congratulations, Dickie. Nice victory, as Alex said. Certainly the path to the PGA Tour goes right through the web.com tour. Now on the LPGA tour, nobody got a flat tire there, that's for sure.
Well, certainly not for Chris Thomas, Bobby. Windsor, first time on the LPGA tour, been a member since 2005 and earned over just $1 million in her career. Now all of a sudden, she's made 14 cuts on cuts this year, and one of them now being a win. Her best finish previous to this was a T4 at the Major LPGA Classic presented by Kraft in July. Tell you, there's nothing like winning your first time on any tour, is there, Bob?
No, you're right about that. And boy, that's a long time, 9 years since joining the tour to finally get your victory. Congratulations, Chris. A job well done.
You're right. And we do a job well done here too, Bobby. We're going to go to news and notes. But remember, you're listening to The Grill Room, powered by GolfBlot.com and heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network. Next up is going to be News and Notes.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it, Rory McIlroy agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
All right, Alex promised we'd deliver. News and notes, music in the background. A little bit scary there for a while. John Daly, he collapsed during a corporate outing tournament in Mississippi. But all good news, found out one of his lungs collapsed, but he's out of the hospital and he's on the mend. Quick recovery to big John Daly. Certainly, I can say one of the all-time characters ever to play in the world of professional golf.
You're right, Bobby. And from what I understand, when he got out of the hospital, one of the first things he did was go back to the golf course and play golf. So clearly he's doing okay. But you're right. You know, it's a little scary. I know that he's really focused on trying to play Champions Tour golf. He's going to have a lot of time to do that because he's got two major wins. That's a big thing in regards to how much exemptions he's going to get, or how much time, rather, he's going to get on the Champions Tour. I think he's got at least 2 or 3 years before he has to worry about qualifying. So, you know, we're glad to hear that John Daly's doing okay, and can't wait to see him either on the PGA Tour or next year on the Champions Tour.
All right, let's move along in news and notes. Alex, I believe you have something on the Walker Cup team.
Well, there's there's like three different things I got going on, Bobby. One is Sam Horsfield, who was born in Manchester, England, but moved to the United States in Florida when he was 5 years old, was named to the Walker Cup team last week, but on Monday has told the Great Britain and Ireland team that he's not going to play for them next week at Royal Lithum, citing personal reasons. I've spent some time looking into this, talking to back to the captain, Nigel Edwards of GB&I, and all he knows is that it was for personal reasons that Sam Horsfield withdrew. I talked to his college coach at Florida this morning, and he said it's a tough deal, but Sam is having some personal issues at home, and he's not going to be able to play, and that's all I can get. But what's interesting out of all this is that the Georgia team, or rather I should say the Florida team, is going to be playing in its first event of the year next week up in Georgia. And talking to the coach, his hope is that Sam will join the team there to participate in the first event of the year. So I'm perplexed a little to find out that Sam is not playing at the Walker Cup at Royal Lithium St. Anne's next week, but yeah, might be playing in his college event. So I'm not really sure what it's all about. Hopefully when we get to the Grill Room next week, we'll have a better answer. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the fact that the Champions Tour is going to have its own playoff system starting in 2016. It's going to be a three-event playoff system. The first event, I believe, is going to be in Savannah. The second event is going to be the Dominion, I think, Capital or Classic Open. It's going to be in Richmond, Virginia at the Country Club of Virginia River Course. It's a $2 million purse, and then they'll have the final at the Schwab Cup final, which is, I think, undetermined at this point, but it'll be interesting to see a playoff system very similar to what the playoff system is now currently on the PGA Tour. So there will be more information coming out, I believe, this week, and we'll see what the PGA Tour has to say about that. And then finally, believe it or not, LA is going to be bidding for the Olympics. And the golf course that they're planning on using for the Olympics is going to be the municipal course up at Griffith Park Wilson Golf Club. It's kind of interesting because Riviera had been approached earlier in the year about the possibility of being the club that the Olympic bid would be part of. Believe it or not, Riviera has had an Olympic event at it in the past. It actually had equestrian events when they used to have polo fields at Riviera. So in 1932, I believe it was, that when LA had the Olympics, there were equestrian events at Riviera. but it seems like they've lost out to hosting the golf part of the equation if LA gets the bid in 2024. So instead it'll be Wilson Golf Club, where they're going to spend somewhere around, Bobby, $30 million on the golf course and another $25 million on the clubhouse. I know you wouldn't have to spend anywhere near that kind of money on Riviera, but, you know, I'm not in that business of politics. Are you?
No, I can't even look ahead to anything golf in the Olympics until we get by Rio. It seems like every time I turn around, more alarming news coming from Rio. Hopefully it'll all gel together in the final months before we tee it up down there. After the break, we'll take a look at what's next on the schedule.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by GolfBlot.com, heard on TuneIn Radio and the Armed Forces Radio Network.
The Grill Room.
I'd like to welcome some of the most important people in golf to The Grill Room. Golf course superintendents. Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many that now offer natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jordan Spieth agrees.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Make Cool Brella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Cool Brella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Cool Brella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to CoolBrella.com. That's K-O-O-L-B-R-E-L-L-A.com. Cool Brella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
What's next on the schedule? So let's get right to it, and we'll begin with the Web.com Tour.
Well, Bobby, they're going to have their final series, which is three events plus the Web.com Tour Championship. That's after this week off, it'll all start up for them. You know, I was kind of looking at those guys that are in the top 25, those guys that are going to get their cards no matter what in 2015, 2016. And there are some interesting names on there that I think we should spend a little time with. Kelly Kraft, who won a U.S. Amateur, who many thought didn't have much of a game. He's going to get his card. He's seventh. Shane Birch, who's a friend of yours, he's number nine. He's going to get his card next year. Jamie Lovemark, who's had his card back and forth, dealt with a lot of injuries, he's going to get his card at 12th. Rod Pampling, who the old man from Australia, who has struggled a year or so ago losing his card, but he's going to get his card back at 17. Steve Marino, who's had injuries, he's going to get back. He's number 19 on the list. And then two other guys, which I find are interesting. Patrick Rogers, who we talked about a lot, who earned enough money to get unlimited exemptions earlier in the year. Not only is he going to earn his card through the PGA Tour system from 2015, how he played, but he's also going to earn his card through the web.com playoff. So I'm not sure which one's going to give him better status. And then lastly, Harold Varner III. Harold Varner was one of the guys that got an exemption into the Northern Trust Open, the minority exemption. And, you know, you never know what that means. I mean, obviously he's a minority. They want to give him access. You really don't know how good he's going to be or not be, but obviously good enough to earn his card on the web.com tour this year. So Harold Varner III is also going to be on the PGA Tour next year. So though all those guys will be fighting to get better status, but they're guaranteed a card for 2015-2016.
Well, I know it's Steve Marino's dream to be participating in the Olympics down at Rio, but not as a golfer. His favorite sport is table tennis. He loves it. He thinks he's the world's best, and I know he would do just about anything to be able to play table tennis down at Rio. I don't think it's going to happen. Of course, this week on the PGA Tour, go up to Boston, an unusual Friday start, Monday finish, the only event on the PGA Tour with that type of schedule, but makes it interesting, seems to work up there. The Deutsche Bank people have done a great job in making it a celebration weekend, and that Monday finish doesn't seem to hurt anybody.
No, and obviously number one, as we talked about earlier, is Jason Day. Number two is Jordan Spieth. Number three is Bubba Watson. And I think number four is Henrik Stenson. On the reverse of that, number 100 is Jason Kokrak. You got to get into the top 70, as Bob said, to keep on moving, which would be BMW in 2 weeks from now. There'll be a week off after Deutsche Bank. So we'll see what happens. It ought to be quite interesting. You didn't mention, I don't think, Bobby, that the tournament benefits the Tiger Woods Foundation, and Tiger won't be there at least as a player. Do you think he shows up anyways to support the foundation?
I don't think he'll be there. He's got far more important things that he's working on right now. Inside sources have told me that he's formulating quite a game plan that he's going to be able to bring down to Magnolia Lane in April, and I can't wait to see that.
You know, Bobby, I have to tell you, I've been doing this show with you for a little over 5 years now, and your inside sources. First week of the playoffs, you're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn and the Armed Forces Radio Network, powered by GolfBlot.com. By the way, The Grill Room is also available on iTunes, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, and, of course, our website, TheGrillRoom.com.
Big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, and the Ion Loop, and the GolfBlot.com. So for Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at the Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.